This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Dashan Johan. And today we are continuing our coverage on issues found in the draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040, also known as the KLSP 2040. This draft is a planning document that will guide KL's physical development over the next 20 years. Now, several organizations and residents associations have taken the initiative to comb through the over 200-page document, and they found several issues in it, some of which we will be highlighting today.
Yep. And so to join our conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio and WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Right. So on to the story. KL City Hall, or DBKL, launched its draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040 earlier this year in February to guide KL's physical development over the next 20 years. Now, according to DBKL, the KLSP 2040 gives a detailed description of the development policies for Kuala Lumpur and will account for the city's changing social landscape. The plan aims to address key issues such as public transportation, affordable housing, job opportunities, and environmental quality improvement in Kuala Lumpur.
Yep, and KL City residents and stakeholders are invited to submit feedback on the draft plan before it can be gazetted. This is a mandatory process as all stakeholders must be given a chance to provide their input and have their concerns addressed before the plan is gazetted. Residents associations such as the TTDI Residents Association and Selamatkan KL, an organization that advocates for proper city planning, have been working hard to dissect this document, which, as we mentioned earlier, is over 200 pages long, and to identify areas. So basically what they're doing is to identify areas that may need more clarification from DBKL. Mm. And together with like-minded community members, their intensive study of the document has identified many issues with the draft plan, including contradictions, errors, and more.
So last week on the Daily Digest, we spoke to Leon Kwe, who is the coordinator of the Safe Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group, and who's also working on this effort in conjunction with the TTDI Residents Association. So Leon highlighted several issues. For example, how under the law, the structure plan is required to set out policies and proposals, but the new draft KLSP 2040 instead talks about goals, strategic directions, and actions. So we're left unsure if these actually qualify under the law as valid policies and proposals.
Yep. And other areas Leon highlighted include the absence of sectoral strategies for sub-districts. He also spoke about the issues surrounding transit-oriented development and whether the many errors found in the draft plan affect the fundamental integrity of the document. So you can search for that podcast titled Issues Found in the Draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040 at bfm.my or on the BFM app to listen to the interview in full. Mm.
So Leon did mention last week that there were more issues to highlight, and today we have on the line Dato' M. Ali, the Deputy Chairperson of Selamatkan Kuala Lumpur. So Dato' Ali and the team at Selamatkan Kuala Lumpur had been working hard to organise briefing sessions for residents of KL, that's prior to the MCO, of course, to let them know just how the draft plan will affect them. So he joins us now to elaborate on some other issues found in the draft plan. Hi, Dato' Ali. Thanks for joining us. And firstly, do you think there was enough public engagement and clarification on the content of the draft plan by DBKL?
Okay, to start with, they came out with a draft structure plan. And it says a city for all. When you say a city for all, that means to a layperson like me, it is a city for all. There must be an engagement, a dialogue, a briefing before you move the next step. You haven't even gone through with the public, the stakeholders, the people who are interested, on what do you mean by a city for all. You're not even explained. Is a city for all in terms of just development in inverted commas, or are we looking at it holistically? So this has not been addressed at all, except some hodgepodge briefing done by the partly by the DBKL officials, plus led by some of the consultants, I think. And these are the same consultants who did the KLCP 2020. And we have already raised a lot of questions on the question of integrity. Have they gone through an open process on the engagement of the consultants? So I'm going, you know, my story is not just addressing the structure plan. You must go to the fundamentals, the basics, for them to answer. And the structure plan, again, is a follow-through related to the KLCP 2020. And the KLCP 2020 itself is being questioned, as you are fully aware. It's pending in the court, as there are a group of people who have taken the matter to the court for a judicial review. So how do we move? I mean, legalistically, no, I'm not a legal person. I'm a very basic raya jelata, I always tell people. So this is where we are coming from. And SKL would like all these clarifications to be cleared before we move to the next step of the next steps. That gives you a sum of where we are coming from.
So DBKL did have public displays of the plan, but there was no public clarification or discussion sessions. Am I right?
Public display, per se, you would just put up a plan on the foyer of DBKL lobby and say that we are engaging. It is not engagement. See, can an average person understand when you display something? You must be able to clarify to me if I go there, I look at it. Take an example. I'm staying in the Jalan Abdullah area, which is in the fringe of KL, off Jalan Bangsa, Jalan Travers, or Jalan Raya, as we call it today, immediately next to Bukit Persekutuan. And there's huge plans in the pipeline to change the character of Bukit Persekutuan, where the IKUM is, the National Health Institute is, as well as the Sri Pahang area. So if you just put up the drawing without putting elaborate details, how do I understand? So this is where we talk about the engagement, the dialogue session, because all this cannot be done through online or digital format with a direct explanation, clarification. So that is the concerns.
So, Dato Ali, as you mentioned earlier, many believe that the current KL City Plan 2020 was unlawfully gazetted in 2018. And if that's the case, can DBKL lawfully incorporate its contents now into the new structure plan 2040?
This is what I mentioned earlier, Shamila, if you recall, that the 2020 city plan is already pending in the court for a judicial review. So they are working on the structure plan, and the next 2040 KLCP, the city plan, will also follow through. So when there are serious flaws in the 2020 plan, which has not been addressed effectively and resolved, they shouldn't move. In fact, if you ask me, from 2020, there one group talked about 2030, another group talked about, is now talking about 2040. So you may have to even defer this draft plan for the next 2 years or 3 years to make sure that you have run through the whole process and see that you come up with a very holistic, very functional, practical structure plan so that your city plan will also follow suit. You'll get a proper, functional and acceptable plan by the people. See, the whole focus now with this COVID-19, the scenario again becomes more complicated and more complex because your demands, your needs, your requirements for the city, and especially when you call a city for all, will drastically change because as it is from GE14 and even earlier, Bank Negara itself has made statements there is an overhang of high-end properties, commercial properties. So now with these complications, with this change in scenario, they is going to add the complex city to a greater extent. So in a nutshell, in our view, we feel that when the matter is pending in court and it has not been resolved, the move forward for the 2040 plan has got to be addressed with a final comb.
Okay, Dato Ali, just to circle back to the plan itself, is DBKL addressing the housing mismatch, which has generated the current residential overhang? For example, as it is, we have some wasted residential condos which remain unsold and so on.
Correct. You're right. The type of accommodation that needed, the housing needs today, is not the standard norm of where you talk about the developers look at the bottom line, and we just want to maximize their bottom line and bring up, come up with high-end developments. I mean, a clear example is TTDI, as you know, the TRK, the Taman Rumah Kiara, where they have been pursuing the matter over so long. And when you're talking about the longhouses, and I'm sure you've followed that, and the longhouses, they say there's no issue. Within the footprint of the existing space of the longhouses, you build what is required for the longhouse people. But what are we talking about 2,000 units of high-end property in that area to a massive development? So that's why the need is not being matched with the development that is in plan. So in a similar way, overall throughout KL, I think this is what's going to happen. I mean, Taman Desa, for instance, Taman Sepute, for instance, Taman Kiara Titi Wangsa, for instance. So this is happening throughout KL, where there's a mismatch in terms of the actual need, the actual type, the actual cost, the right cost of the right type of accommodation to match the needs, the cost-wise as well. Definitely there is an overhang, in our opinion.
And you mentioned COVID-19 earlier, and this is definitely an unprecedented crisis that we're currently facing. So given this current situation, should DBKL continue with the structure plan in its current form? Or do you think DBKL should be taking a step back, you know, to revise its assumptions on growth, demand and supply?
You're absolutely right, because the demand, the need, in terms of the need, plus in terms of the financial, fiscal support, for instance, banks are going to put tight hold on the financial facility, the institution of financial institutions are going to put a very tight hold as to the granting of loans or entertaining for the developers as well as for the purchasers. I'm sure it's going to happen. They might not say it now, but at the end of the day, it's going to happen, as you have seen, that the whole nation has been talking about we have to cut down costs, we have to cut down our overhead, we have to cut down on our employment, you know. So for the next 2-3 years, we are going to have a very tight fiscal condition in terms of flow of funds. So they have to definitely revisit the entire structure plan leading to the city plan.
Okay, so the mayor of Kuala Lumpur has extended the deadline for stakeholders to submit feedback till the 18th of May. But given that we've been under a movement control order, should this be then extended further? To what extent can this be considered a valid public process if the public are under a movement control order?
No, two things. One is I have already been in touch with the DBKL officers through whatever communications available. In view of the MCO, following the PM's advice, you know, in terms of financial institutes, statutory payments, statutory compliance, the PM made that the government has decided to give moratorium between 3 to 6 months from the actual date of lifting the MCO fully. So initially, we also agreed to DBKL when they talked about 18th May, but looking at the way the MCO has continued, because at that time we thought only probably a month is over, then we'll meet immediately after that. But now looking at it, that the MCO has dragged on and the PM has already made this announcement. Therefore, in order to have a proper engagement, proper dialogue, proper briefing, and they have to revisit, therefore, the 18th May will not stand. They should review and go on along the same line, at least, if not more, at least 3 months from the date of the actual lifting of the full lifting of the MCO, so that we, from that period, at least with a month two, they can have effective engagement. And this engagement is not only, as we said earlier, displaying it in the DBKL Jalan Raja Laut HQ foyer lobby, but they have to hold the engagements constituency-wise, parliamentary constituency-wise. And that is, we are talking about 11 parliamentary constituencies in Wilayah Persekutuan KL. So they have to hold in their branch offices or any suitable locations in the respective, so that you have an effective plan where it says a city for all. So let the people around that constituency have the opportunity to come and engage and be part and parcel of the plan, which is city for all. That means they must be involved in it. It's not only those people who have been alert or who have been aware, they take the initiative to follow through. But by going down to the ground level, it will become more effective. So I don't think 18th May, which is just around the corner, another 10, 12 days from now, will hold good. So we are appealing to the Dato' Bandar that it should be at least 3 months from the date of full lifting of the MCO, plus they must go and engage at every parliamentary constituency.
Thank you so much, Dato' Ali. That was Dato' M. Ali, the Deputy Chairperson of Selamatkan Kuala Lumpur, just highlighting some issues with the draft Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan 2040. Now, we can't keep stressing how important and crucial your involvement is to this whole process, because it's essential that residents who call Kuala Lumpur their homes scrutinise the proposed changes to land use, zoning, development density, recreational areas, transportation and so forth. You know, all areas that will really affect our lives in the city.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of it might be a lot for most of us, right? You know, it might be a bit too complex, especially for people who don't understand zoning laws and maps and all of that. So luckily, there are groups like the TTDI Residents Association and the Selamatkan KL Coalition who are happy to help and assist in any way possible. So you can reach out to your MP for assistance or get in touch with your own residents association and maybe get together with your neighbours to go through the 200 plus page document. The other option is to get in touch with the folks from Selamatkan KL through their Facebook page, or you can email them at skl.secretariat@gmail.com and copy mumali0404@gmail.com as well in the correspondence.
And again, the deadline to submit feedback on the draft plan is on the 18th of May. And given the rampant development we've seen take place in Kuala Lumpur over the years, it's vital that you voice out any objections that you have as soon as possible. So you can provide feedback or complaints online at dbkl.gov.my/epandangan. Just ensure that you have documented proof of your objection, comment or query, either in the form of an email to DBKL or an acknowledged objection form. So that's it from us today on that, but we will be keeping an eye on the situation and bringing you any new updates that we might have. If you have thoughts that you'd like to share with us, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or drop us a message on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. is Try This At Home, and today they are going to be talking about Online Design 101. We will leave you now with City Don't Cry by Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.